inside the NRL. Cronulla's Sean Johnson is in studio for an update on his quad injury and how he's settling into the Shire. We head to the nation's capital to hear from Sam Williams and the growing English contingent at the Raiders. And will Nathan Brown be at the Knights in 2020? Jamie and Michael have their say on his future.
Welcome back to Inside the NRL. It's great to have your company as always. Now we start the segment usually with some news. And Michael Chamis, what has been the biggest news to come out of round four in the rugby league world?
Yeah, off the field, James Roberts, obviously the photo that surfaced over the weekend with the events that unfolded after the Dragons game. Looked like he had too much to drink there after that game. He'd injured himself as well. So the Broncos, look, they sent out a statement. The Broncos nipped in the bud pretty quickly, but it's pretty sad the state that James Roberts is in, given what we know about his past. Katie, it's sad to see at the moment with James Roberts.
Definitely. And another off-field incident. But, Jamie, do you think that he should have been suspended from the club?
Well, not from the club. It's got nothing to do with the integrity unit. I don't think he did anything wrong going to a private party, from what we understand, Katie. And the only real issue is that he was drinking while injured. So that, for me, is an Anthony Seibold, Paul White issue, not an NRL issue.
But that warrant suspension?
No.
No?
He's let his teammates down. He's let himself down. He knows the history he's got with those kind of issues. But let's not overreact here. He's gone out and drunk when he shouldn't have, when he should be rehabbing. The club would be disappointed. Teammates would be disappointed because he's so influential to their team.
Yeah. Michael, what do you know about that situation moving forward?
Look, I think if it was another player, and not because of his talent, right? I think if it was another player, then maybe the Broncos would have thought about some sort of sanction. But we know James Roberts' history, and I think I've spoken to a few people at the club. They're a bit concerned that if they do come down hard on him, if they do allow him the opportunity to spiral out of control, then, you know, James has had a checkered past. He's done a lot to try and get himself back there, obviously last couple of years with Wayne Bennett. And he's in a good place. You know, there were some dark times for James Roberts. He, you know, life wasn't always so good, and almost took his own life at that point there. Obviously, addiction to painkillers and alcohol abuse. So the club's worried about his welfare. And look, this doesn't condone what he did. What he did was wrong. He shouldn't have been drinking when injured. But there's more to this than simple just, yeah, should he be suspended or not?
Yeah, okay. Another talking point that came out of Graeme Annesley's presser today was the Viliami kick-out try should have gone up and should have been a try. What can you tell us on that, Michael?
Yeah, I don't think it got sent upstairs at the time, but Graeme Annesley said today it should have been sent upstairs, first of all, and second of all, it would have been a try. So this is it here. A kick-out went up, obviously, went there, looked like a knock-on. And they called it that at the time, and it was play on for the Tigers, and they got the ball back. But if you look at it here, he gets the ball down on the line. So, it's a tough one. But Graeme Annesley, credit to the NRL, they've said they should have sent it upstairs, and Jamie will probably say they should send everything upstairs.
I was going to say, Jamie warned us last week.
What can I say? I mean, I do commend the NRL for coming out and owning up to the mistake.
Yeah.
But if it's a semi-final, it doesn't help the losing team that goes home. If Penrith had a loss the other night, you should be sending everything up. It would take 10 seconds to have a quick look there. It takes 30 seconds max to be able to zoom in and show what Graeme Annesley was looking at. What he's done for the game this year, I think we're seeing the benefits of that. But you can't have a try miss like that in such a tight game.
Yeah.
Because it will cost someone. And when you're sitting in the sheds and you know that it's a dead set try or it was pretty close and they didn't even look at it, you're looking at your teammate, your season's over.
So that's when the captain's call we can really benefit, because the player knows there whether he's got
it. You don't need the captain's call.
Yeah, but if the player knows there, like in cricket, the onus is on the players there. The players know when they have, most of the time know when they haven't scored.
How can Viliami kick out say that he was sure that he scored there? His face is in the other way.
Well, he knows if he's dropped it or not.
He's facing the other way. He doesn't know where
he
the line is.
He can feel whether he's gotten the ball.
Yeah, it's a lot harder than you think.
Okay. Well,
because the coach, what happens in the NFL, they slow the play down, they walk to the scrum or the next decision, and they wait for the replay. Remember when they used to wait for the bunker to rule on strips and second man in the tackle and that stuff?
Yeah.
You slow it down. They tried to do it on the weekend, the two of us, a Sheck, about a ball getting kicked dead. You slow it right down, you wait for that replay, and then that's just going to make the game slower. If you had to just send it up, said, I want to have a quick look, bang, make a decision, play on.
Yeah, I think the only concerning part is how long the game does go. I know you're saying go quick, but
do you want it right or do you want it wrong?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't.
Okay.
Too long.
That's a discussion for another time. Finally, we did see a familiar face in Sydney today. Valentine Holmes has arrived back in town. But there's been a miscommunication with something that's gone on. He obviously did the International Pathways Program to make the NFL. Jamie, you've got all the background on this. Please explain what's gone wrong.
Yeah, well, he's tested exceptionally well going over there through that International Pathways, Katie. So the misconception was that the AAF, which is the American Alliance Football, is a reserve grade competition. It is not. The funding had fell over for that competition, so it's no longer running at the moment. This was a competition that was made this year, so there's no actual link to any NFL clubs. So because that's gone, that has no effect on Valentine Holmes' future in the NFL. There are a couple of teams looking at him, including the Minnesota Vikings. So there's an announcement coming soon, we think, but from all reports, he tested really, really well. There's a lot of things that go on over there. There's drafts, there's free agency, there's practice squads, so there's still an avenue for him to go over there. And judging off his test results, I think that he'll find himself in a squad at least.
Yeah, it's exciting. And he had always planned to come back home for a visit, allegedly.
And so that's where the miscommunication was of this AAF. It is not a reserve grade competition. I can't stress that enough. The competition was brought in this year. There's going to be another XFL come in, which is another version of it. They aren't linked to the NFL clubs, so there's no pathway through there.
Thank you for the clarification. Now, if he doesn't make the NFL, Michael, which NRL clubs do have a cap space for him?
Oh, look, it's no doubt he'll be at North Queensland if he was to come back. The Cowboys are waiting for his management to let them know, and they desperately need a fullback, the Cowboys. They're waiting. At some point this week, they'll know whether Valentine Holmes will be coming back this season or he's going to continue there. The NFL, that experiment could be over in a matter of days, but I think from what we can see, I think that Valentine Holmes is going to spend a little bit more time over there. So look, the other thing is for the Cowboys is if they get an answer from Holmes soon, they can move forward and try and sign a fullback for next year, because they can't go 2 years without a recognised fullback. At the moment, they're struggling as it is to score points. Imagine 2 years without a fullback. So someone like Clint Gutherson on the market, they need to act soon.
Ooh, yeah, okay. Sounds good. All right. Sweet or soured moment. What's this week?
Sweet or soured this week. For me, it's a seven-tackle set and how it's changing our game. Yes, I'm talking about the seven-tackle set again. For me, we saw so many tight games on the weekend, and I think the execution and getting into place for a field goal is really changing the way the game. To kick a field goal is so hard in the NRL, let alone from 30 or 40 out, but some of the players are scared to roll the ball in, to be able to build pressure off the back of fear of giving the seven tackle set. So it's changing the way that games end. A lot of people want golden try instead of golden point. Kicking a field goal is hard. Getting the execution is certainly harder.
I like the seven tackle set in certain situations. I understand your point of view, but there's so much excitement around that fullback bringing the ball back, quick tap, seven tackle set, get on the ascendancy. I get what you're saying. Certain infringements shouldn't evoke that sort of reaction, but I think golden try is a better way to decide a game. I think we get more exciting football if it's golden try.
Are you telling me you would like to have seen Penrith and West Tigers for another 20 minutes?
No, well, golden try for a 10-minute period, but and throw the football around.
Okay, this is what happens. You're never ever going to throw the football around. When you get in a tight game, everything clams up. The game slows down. The referees aren't looking for those little penalties. They let the game breathe even more than what they do. That's why field goal is so important. It's the setup. If you take time to set up, and it's not necessarily in the last 5 minutes that you do it. If you do it in the 10 minutes, you're able to go out there and execute that field goal. Field goal, golden point for me is a no-brainer. Seven tackle set. Make some changes to it. Outside the 30, if it goes dead, seven tackles. Inside the 30, six tackles. Oh.
The last 3 minutes of that Panthers game, when they were trying to score a try, in regular time, when they were trying to score a try to get the game to send it to golden point, that was the most entertaining part of it.
Yeah, so you want to see them do it again after they've drawn level?
Yeah.
No, it'd just be one out runs and then get in field position to try and make a mistake.
Let's agree
to
disagree.
Michael's trying to steal your thunder there in the sweet or soured moment, Jamie. Mm. We'll have to have a segment purely for Michael Chammas. Coming up, Cronulla's Sean Johnson joins us in the NRL studio. But first, let's touch base with Zach Bailey for the latest on the player injury report.
Thanks, Katie. There were a few serious injuries to some big names in round four. Tom Trbojevic's Origin hopes could be under threat after the Manly fullback re-injured his hamstring. Now, he could be sidelined for 9 weeks, and with Origin 1 just over 2 months away, it could be touch and go for the Blues winger. It's the second hamstring injury Turbo has suffered this year. He missed the first two rounds of the year after he went down in a trial match in February. Aaron Woods could also also be out of the Origin frame. The Kangaroos prop could be sidelined until round 16 due to a broken foot he suffered against the Eels. Woods will consult a surgeon to determine just how bad the break is. Maroons prop Dylan Napa will join Kieran Foran in Canterbury's casualty ward for the next 5 to 6 weeks. Like Foran, Napa suffered an ankle injury in the Bulldogs' loss to Melbourne, although it's not as bad as the 5/8. The news isn't good for Dragons newcomer Corbin Sims either. In just his second match for the club, Sims suffered a suspected broken arm against his old club. He confirmed his left arm was broken via social media. He will undergo surgery and be sidelined for 6 to 8 weeks. Elsewhere, scans confirmed Penrith's Frank Winterstein has a knee injury, which will sideline him for 6 weeks as well. So there are a fair few big names set for some time on the sidelines. Katie, hopefully we see less in the next few weeks.
Thanks, Zachary. And thank you, Sean Johnson, for joining us on Inside the NRL. Now, you are also part of the casualty ward. How is the quad?
It's okay. Yeah, I mean, if it was good, I probably wouldn't have missed a week. So, but hopefully that's all it's going to be. So it's nothing new to me. You know, just got to manage it.
It was very late. Mm. So are we hoping it's just a minor twinge?
Yeah, it is. And that's literally all it is. So it's just about managing it, getting me to the game, and obviously, we've got a big one this weekend, so we'd really like to be a part of it.
Definitely.
Sean, how have you found the style of play change much from the Warriors to the Sharks?
With different personnel, you sort of always tend to play a little differently, but I think most sides these days are playing fairly similar. You know, we've got, obviously, Chad on ball, and if I'm comparing that to last year, we had, you know, Blake Green on ball, and they're pretty similar players. So my role out the back is sort of changing the tempo of, I guess, how Chad plays and moving with a bit of speed, and I'm enjoying that at the moment.
Sean, did you ever doubt yourself, mate? Like, obviously, what went on at the end of last year coming in a new club, did you doubt yourself, you know, whether you were good enough to still, not still play, but, you know, you're held in such high regard. Did you feel like you were living up to that tag?
I probably didn't feel the pressure. I mean, I was probably more excited. You know, I was excited for change, you know, a new challenge, and mixing and mingling with, I guess, a different style. At Cronulla, we got so many players with so much experience that you just want to rub shoulders with. So continuing to grow and learn, that's all I'm trying to do at the moment. I think, you know, with my footy, I'm still sort of building that. You know, I didn't want to come out here. I didn't expect myself to come out and light the world on fire. You know, I needed to find my feet and had a different training program during the pre-season. So a few little changes there that was going to take time.
Was it a change that you need to have? I mean, you look at your record, 2011 debut, you make a grand final, you probably think you're going to go back there every year after. 2015's your best year, as you've said. Was it time for a change for you to come and get energised and try and rub, like you said, rub shoulders with those experienced guys? Was Sean Johnson need that change?
Yeah, I probably did, to be fair. You know, now looking back on it, and when you're in the moment, you know, you probably don't think you do. But obviously the Warriors saw either me sort of becoming a bit stale, and maybe they were right, you know. So I sort of took that on board, and I've come over here, sort of just asked myself, you know, how do I take my game to the next level? And like you said, you make the grand final in the first year, you're thinking, how good's this, you know? And then the next 6 years, you don't make finals. It's sort of a bit like, can take it out of you.
Yeah.
Last year was a really good year, you know, not just for me, but for the Warriors, and that gave me a lot of confidence. So coming over here, you know, and just trying to continue that and trying to take that to a new level, that's what I'm really enjoying at the moment.
Sean, you talk about taking your game to the next level. You're only four rounds in, but Chad Townsend, how is he helping your game? Is he really just taking that pressure off to let you play ad-lib footy?
Yeah, I think probably, you know, me and Chad and Moisa, we're all helping each other, you know, each other at the moment. You know, obviously Chad's probably the calming influence on us. You know, he's the ball in the hand, he's calling the plays, he's getting us around the park. And then Moisa and myself are eyes up, looking where we can inject ourselves. And to sort of have that responsibility, I sort of had it with Greeny last year, where he did a lot of that as well. It does sort of free you up. It frees you up and takes that pressure off for sure. So I think Chad's doing a terrific job at getting us around the park, and we just got to put, I guess, that cream on top for him, where, you know, where he plays out the back to us, we can ice it.
Sean, in your eyes, mate, what will make this move a success? So I know you've made a big decision to move away from home, from friends and family. What makes it worthwhile?
Playing postseason footy. You know, say we were tested. I mean, you play to play at the end of the year. You know, you work so hard during the pre-season to be there at the back end of the year playing for a trophy. So getting a little taste of that last year, of the finals, was, I guess, just what I needed to, you know, to spark that back in. So I think, obviously, Cronulla's a great spot to live. The lifestyle, I've got all that sorted. So it's, for me, it's about going out on the field and really delivering for a club that's given me a shot. Producing for, you know, I guess, my teammates.
Was that part of your decision to go to the Sharks? The fact that they have been successful in recent times, you would have had many of offers. You talked to other clubs. Was that the deciding factor?
Yeah, I mean, definitely took everything into consideration when choosing, you know, where I was going to end up. And, you know, I was lucky that I had a couple of options, you know, but at the same time, there wasn't a whole heap of options of just how things unfolded. So, you know, when Cronulla approached me, I've always had, you know, great respect for them as a club, and the perception I had of their footy team was tough, you know, really tough, resilient footy team. And I knew I could add something to that. You know, I knew I could add a bit of a spark and I guess bring a bit of my sort of flavour to a group that's already well established. So it wasn't about me going in there and changing the way they play at all. You know, it was about me going in there and just adding to what they've already done for many years now.
Sean, if we look ahead and we look to the Saturday night game against the Roosters, you're going up against Cooper Cronk and Luke Carey, two fantastic halves who have really combined well. Fans are in for one hell of a treat, aren't they?
Let's hope. I mean, like, you always want to play against the best players, and I think, in particular, the way Carey's played over the start of this competition and even the back end of last year, he's been probably the form 5-8 in my eyes. So, for me, it's going to be a good challenge and one I'm really looking forward to. So, I know Chaddy will be on the same page with that, and it's going to be a good one.
Hope that you can take him off their game.
It's a really tough month. I think it's a deciding month for the Sharks ahead. You play Roosters, Storm and Broncos pretty much consecutively.
Yep.
You're going to really find out a lot about yourselves. Were you impressed on Saturday night despite losing in the performance of the young guys?
Yeah, I was. I really was. I mean, it's sort of like you're impressed, but at the same time, I'm not surprised. Yep. You know, like I just said, I've always known we're tough and resilient, and when you've got some of the personnel that we've got out at the moment, especially two of your spine within the same week, can be pretty disruptive. Yeah. So the way Flano stepped up, you know, he did his job. He played a really, really solid game. And then you got the likes of Bronzeri, who we've all been, you know, waiting to see come out and have a really solid debut. It's really exciting for us, you know. So, you know, if we can obviously get a few of our players back on deck, you know, and get through this next month of footy in good shape, I think it'll really put us in good stead for the second half of the season.
Sean, what's been the biggest eye-opener for you, mate? Just being in Sydney, the rugby league, the bubble here in Sydney, it has your outlook on league changed? What's been the biggest thing that you've noticed?
Just how big the game is here. You know, in Auckland, in New Zealand, it's second fiddle to rugby. So to come over here and to be, you turn on the telly and all you see is rugby league, you turn on the news and they're talking about rugby league, whether it's good or bad, they're talking about it. So just how much of a scope rugby league has in Sydney in particular, that's probably been the thing that I've been like, well, like, we can have some sort of impact on, you know, the way I guess kids want to come through and what sport they want to play.
All right, before we let you go, we've got a few questions from the fans.
Okay.
And first one is from a fan, teammate Kyle Flanagan.
Oh, he's a big fan.
Yeah, massive fan. Filled in for you last week. Yeah. Does the admin bro ? It's a question on Instagram. Please explain.
Yeah, admin is a saying that I didn't realise Australians don't really use, you know. So I've come over here and back in NZ, me and my mates, we're just, what are you up to? Oh, admin, you know, life admin, what are you doing today? Bunch of admin, you know, it's just a bunch of boring stuff. And obviously setting myself up, the boys would be like, hey, you want to go for lunch? I'd be like, sorry, I've got admin on. And I'm just talking about, like, trying to get furniture in the house and just boring stuff. So the boys find it quite amusing that I use that word, and obviously they've started to take it on.
So for the Aussies, it's basically jobs.
Yeah.
Okay. Second question. It's from Martman83. Not sure if that's a legit account, but we'll find out after. How was it living with the big fella, Andrew Fifita?
It was really good. Yeah, I think a lot of people, when they ask me that question, expect a different answer probably, and expect some sort of insight into, you know, what he does and that. But it was actually really good, really nice family. kids were awesome. And me being a homebody, you know, living in New Zealand my whole life, and family's such a big thing to me, to be able to go in there for the first sort of 10 days, you know, 2 weeks sort of period when I first come here was really nice. Yeah. Actually, he put me, so I pulled up, I'm like, okay, like me and Drew, we didn't know each other, we'd met. Said, hey man, like, how you going? I've got my suitcases and all that. He's like, yeah, all good, come with me, you're out the back. And then walks me through his house, nice house, out the back, mean pool, and he puts me in his pool house. I'm like, how good's this? You know, he's a nice big couch in there, TV and that. But I literally spent, I only slept in there, like I spent all my time in the house. Like, that's how cool, you know, like his family was to be around. So it was really, really nice to go there for the first bit of my stay.
Oh, very good. All right, the last one, M. Walshy 86. Would you play for the Warriors again?
Would I play for the Warriors again? I mean, I won't burn any bridge ever. So like, if the opportunity came and it was the right thing to do, then yeah, I would definitely.
Ooh.
Don't start.
No, don't start.
You can't ask me a question and be like, ooh.
I'm not going to blow it up.
Just throwing out there, I'm at the Sharks, I'm very happy. Like, it's the best ever. But I've only got 3 years, you know, and you never know.
No, that's okay. We're not throwing under the bus. You just keep enjoying your time in Cronulla. Thank you so much for joining us, and good luck against the Roosters on Saturday night.
Thank you.
They are in form. Mm-hmm. Look out. Up next, we do speak to Raiders halfback Sam Williams. But first, let's take a look at the top tries from round four. Brilliant tries. Don't forget to vote for your favourite at NRL.com. Now, Sam Williams joins us from the Canberra Raiders. Thank you so much for coming on Inside the NRL.
No worries, guys. Yeah, thanks for having me.
Let's talk about that big win over the Cowboys on the weekend. How's the body holding up and how's the team feeling after that one?
Yeah, really good. It's quite a good feeling down here at the moment after a couple of wins. We had a fairly long flight yesterday coming home from Townsville, so we'll have today off and come back tomorrow and have a quick look at the game and move on to Parramatta.
Sam, how's it been for you, mate? The first couple of weeks, obviously not in first grade. You get your chance and you've made the most of it. How are you feeling about yourself at the moment?
Yeah, quite good. Obviously, over the last sort of probably 8 or 9 years, I've spent a bit of time coming in and out, so I understand my role and what the team needs of me. And we have a big long pre-season for a reason, and that's just to make sure that all combinations can work. So I was quite comfortable coming into the team, and I think the team was fairly comfortable with what I bring to them.
I know Aiden's a chance of returning this week from injury. What does that mean for you, mate? I imagine Sticky will want to stick with a side that's obviously done the job the last couple of weeks. Have you been told anything at this point?
Yeah, I'm not too sure at the moment. Obviously, we'll come in tomorrow morning, but I don't know where Sticky's at with all that. Hopefully, the last couple of weeks and the wins have helped my cause a little bit, but whether or not he goes with Aiden or myself, or if Aiden's even fit, I'm not too sure. So we'll know a lot more tomorrow.
Sam, just with Ricky Stewart, what does he say to you? Is he much of a talker? You know, what's the feedback like considering the job you've done so far?
Yeah, he's pretty good, Sticky. He's always, I think one of the things I've really liked about him is the fact that he's always quite honest with you, and he also doesn't overcomplicate things. I've worked under Ricky for a few years now, and knows what he expects of me, and I know what he wants out of his halves. So, he's pretty good with his communication.
Sam, you come up against the Red Hot Parramatta this weekend, no doubt obviously inspired by Blake Ferguson since joining the club. You played with him at the nation's capital a few years ago. Will you be avoiding him, mate, with those kicks, or are you going to pepper him early just to make sure you take him out of the play early in the tackle count?
Yeah, once again, something I'm sure we'll have a chat about tomorrow, but you want to try and nullify how much ball Fergo gets and how much quality ball he gets. He's started the season really strong at Parramatta, and his carries off the wing are probably the best in the NRL at the moment. So, as you said, we could try and take him out of the game or kick the ball out and things like that, but I know he'll go looking for the footy, so it's probably trying to just minimise the damage that he does and try and eliminate him getting their sets going early.
You'll certainly have a job on your hands, Sam. But we need to ask you a question before we let you go. The Pommies at your club, how many have we got? How many are we talking down at Canberra?
Yeah, we've just done the count. We've got four of them playing at the moment. They've obviously all brought something different. They're quite competitive people. Two of them have come from quite successful club at Wigan. And then Hodjo and Elliot have both been here for a number of years now. But they're just really competitive people. They're great fun to have around. We're really lucky to have them here at the club, and starting to build a bit of a tie with the English people as well. I know a lot of them are following them and follow them quite closely. So hopefully, going forward, we can continue to do this. And yeah, as I said, they've brought a hell of a lot to the club, and we love having them here.
So do they say that Aussies are hard to understand, or do we say they're hard to understand?
No, it's definitely they're hard to understand. We, we try and speak as clearly as we can for them, but John Bateman, he came out here, and it took a little while to get used to him, but I've spent a little bit of time in the north of England, so I could translate a little bit for the boys.
I love it. Well, thank you so much for joining us on Inside the NRL, and good luck against the Eels on Sunday night.
Good on you guys. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Sam.
And now for our final guest before we get to Hit or Miss is, of course, the NRL Telstra Premiership Trophy that we do have on set today, because grand final tickets for our club ticketed members are on sale today. For everybody else, you're tomorrow or the next day or later in the week. Now, we don't know what it's like to win a premiership, but somebody on set knows what it feels like. Jamie, can you describe back in 2010 what it was like to hold that thing up?
Oh, a childhood dream. Yeah. For me, amazing feelings. I was pretty lucky. I was part of a really, really good team. So that time under Wayne and the Dragons and what we were able to do as a team, building to that special day was something I'll never forget. So
bit of extra lucky. Bling. Bit of extra bling today. I did.
Yes.
Did
we can't
this.
Forget either.
Nah. I wore it in once. That's it.
Yeah.
And it doesn't come out very often, but to me, being an American sports fan, having a ring, means everything. So, very lucky.
Definitely. Now, what about for you, Michael? Grand final. I know you haven't played in one, but what about
I played in many, actually.
Favourite grand final?
Maybe not NRL standard. Oh, there we go. It's closest I'm ever going to get to one, apparently.
Guys,
well, he's a big, big Dragons fan. So.
Was.
Huge Dragons fan, so.
My highlight, honestly, was that 2010. When Dean Young crashed over, you sort of knew that it was going to happen for the Dragons that year after many years of, can we say choking? Yeah, choking. Well, let's be fair, it was. no fault of yours. But, yeah, that was a highlight. Jonathan Thurston a few years ago was a real highlight. And as a kid growing up, that 99 grand final, Darren Albert, down the blind side there. That's 99 Dragons, Storm. I was crying that year.
My favourite was 1994. I actually saw Bulldogs play the Raiders. That was one of the first grand finals I went to at the SFS.
Really?
Yeah, and Marty Bella knocked it on off the kickoff, and the Raiders Melmoning his last ever game. So
that is special.
Yeah.
That is very special. I didn't see him.
So that was my first grand final there, and I was lucky enough to work the last ever game at the SFS last year, Roosters South.
Oh.
What do you reckon, fans buying tickets, which two teams will be the most excited buying
Roosters,
tickets?
Get your tickets now.
Well, you mentioned Bulldogs and Raiders, and at the rate they're playing right now,
yeah,
is it too early to call?
Pump the brakes on the Bulldogs. Raiders have been great. Look, I would say Roosters, Storm, back to back.
Wow.
They're just streets ahead of everyone at the moment.
Well, if you do want to book your tickets, book them now at nrl.com/tickets. Only for the club members are today, but later in the week for everybody else. All right, here we go. Hit or miss. Let's do it. Question one. Nathan Brown is gone if the Knights don't make the eight. Hit or miss?
Hit. I think Nathan Brown knows it too. It's a lot of pressure on Brownie at the Knights with that team, and fairly so, to be honest with you. It's a team capable of playing finals football. They're just not finishing games well at the moment. They've lost a few tight ones. They're just not finishing them well. I think that's part of their evolution, though. That when, and to be fair, Mitchell Pearce has been around long enough to be not to be icing those moments at the end there. This is inexperience here from Kalen. So, look, yeah, I think it's a hit.
Hit from me, Katie. I think, the start of the year, you look at the coaches, I said that he was the most under pressure only because he's got his roster. And when a coach comes out and says that, they're pretty confident. They were trending up last year, but they're still learning to win those tight games. You look at that Kalen Ponga play at the end of that game. You look at not batting the ball dead against Penrith, and then they come back and score a try. They're still learning to be a good team in the NRL, and there's a couple of teams in that bracket. Parramatta is another one, but, yeah, hit for me.
OK, question two. Anthony Seibold needs to end the Cody Nicarima and Anthony Milford halves combination. Hit or miss, Jamie?
Miss. I've been very critical of the Brisbane halves over the years. I think they were just dominated through the forwards last week. I mean, some of the options, I get that they're under pressure from Sean O'Sullivan up there, who's gone up there from the Roosters. But I just think when you've got a forward pack like the Roosters, like Tokiaho ran for 200 metres, Tedovano as well, they were just rolling down and allowing the Roosters halves to play off the front foot. And the Roosters halves, let's be honest, are in Luke Keary's in career best form. So I think they get another week at most, maybe two.
Okay.
Well, I think hit. I look at what happened to the Bulldogs, and it just changes everything. It changes everyone around you. Just energises the place. I know they've lost to the Storm and the Roosters, the two grand finalists, and you're predicting to go ahead back there this year. But I think time's up for both of them, to be honest with you. I don't think they're working as a combination. I don't think they ever have worked as a combination. It's been a while since we've seen them consistently put it together. I'd like to see, and Darius Boyd, he's not playing his best football, and his best days are behind him. I think Darius Boyd moving to the centres, get Jack Bird, who's probably been their best player over the opening month, get him into the halves and just change it up. We saw with the Bulldogs, a change can do wonders for a team, and I'm not saying they won't be the halves come back into the year, but something has to give at the Broncos.
All right, well, something a little bit similar. Maloney and Cleary won't be the New South Wales halves pairing for 2019. Let's take a listen quickly before I get your answers to what James said to this today.
Oh, look, I miss a lot of it, I think. Like, I don't... So, yeah, it's not until I sort of come here and you tell me there's all this criticism that I sort of know about it. Yeah. So, I don't really pay much attention to it. So, it doesn't really bother me. And I think Nathan's pretty grounded. He knows what he's doing. And, I think the key when things are going there, you needed to care about the opinions that matter and, take the other opinions with a grain of salt.
So Maloney and Cleary won't be the New South Wales halves pairing in 2019. Hit or miss? Jamie?
Hit, only because Luke Keary's in such great form and I think Brad Fittler will go with the hot hand. They did the job last year for the Blues, but they're just struggling a little bit with their cohesion. For me, they've switched sides and defensive reasons, but it takes a while to get those combinations going. Like, you look at that play there, I think Cleary on the other side, Maloney's been getting the ball, Wunga Blake was on the left last year, so they've had a fair few changes to deal with the Penrith halves. In saying that, their performance hasn't been up to scratch, considering they are the Origin halves, but I just think Luke Keary's in too good a form.
Yeah, that win saved them, to be honest. There was going to be a week of Penrith bashing this week if they didn't get away with that against the Tigers. I think hit as well. There's only one man that will get the nod, and that's Luke Keary. There's no one else at the moment knocking down the door that's going to be challenging. Adam Reynolds, Mitchell Pearce, I think that discussion is pretty much over for a little while. It's Luke Keary or it's no one else, and I think he'll get there.
Yeah, all right. Eels must re-sign Mitch Moses and Clint Gutherson now. Hit or miss? I'll go with you, Michael.
I say miss. I think Clint Gutherson should be re-signed now. I think he's done enough. Look, the situation at Parramatta at the moment is his manager wants more money than the Parramatta are willing to give him. And Clint Gutherson knocked back an offer at the start of the off-season, around the middle of the year, around Christmas time, knocked it back and decided to go, obviously, and try and get more money by playing well. He's done that. But Parramatta are in the middle there. And to Parramatta's credit, they're not being bullied in this. They did the same with Jared Hayne. So I think they hold out, and that's the offer they've given at the moment. With Mitchell Moses, they've started negotiations. I think Mitchell Moses has to do more. Like the coach at the moment, they've got to do a couple more things there, win a few more games, and then that'll take care of itself. But I think Gutherson should be the first one there.
All right. Hit or miss for you, Jamie?
Hit. I was there on Saturday night. He was absolutely outstanding, Mitchell Moses. And I haven't been a Mitchell Moses fan over the last couple of years. I thought last year he was blaming everyone else around him instead of looking after his own game. This year he's had an attitude change. We spoke to Clint Gutherson on this very show about his attitude change and how he approached the pre-season. He's a real leader within that club now. And I think the way they played together on Saturday night, you could pair these two up and build your team around them. So I don't know how much gap there is. Is there much gap between Gutherson, what he wants and what they're offering?
Oh, look, there is a bit. It's in between. He's in between where they were, what the offer was originally, and what he wants now. It's somewhere in between what Parramatta have offered. But look, I think he'll stay. I don't have any doubt that Gutherson will stay.
I think you sign both of them right now.
Mitchell Moses, though, mate. Like, the way he's playing right now, why would you want to give that? Whether you like it or not, some players were coming off contract will play for their futures.
It's a contract year. That's what you call a contract year.
Wouldn't you want to get the most out of him as long as possible?
I think he's shown. If he'd played week one and they're saying, let's start talking Mitch Moses' contract, you'd be like, well, hold on a second. He's been outstanding. He's shown a commitment to the team. He's shown he can lead the team. And you look at Corey Norman on the other side, both these players just weren't meant to play together.
Yeah.
So they've gone off and excelled. And if you're the Dragons, you'd extend Corey Norman, wouldn't you?
Mm.
So I just think Mitch Moses is a no-brainer.
Sometimes it just doesn't click. All right, last one. Field goal execution is getting worse in the modern game. Now, we did put this to our Twitter fans. 56% said miss and 44% said hit. So what do you both say? I'll go to you, Michael. Hit or miss?
To be honest, I'm going to sit on the fence.
No, you can't sit on the fence.
I don't know. Like, because there's conditions, especially in Penrith. It was wet. It's hard to kick a field goal in the wet. The ball just slips when you're kicking. Oh. To be honest, I don't think there are enough Cooper Cronk, Nathan Cleary type players in the game who can ice the big moments. And unfortunately, Mitchell Pearce didn't ice that last night. Adam Reynolds is someone who's renowned for doing so and didn't do it. So yeah, maybe it's probably hasn't started the way we probably thought it would. But yeah, I don't really have an answer for you, Katie, to be honest with you.
You have one job: hit or miss. Just say one word.
Miss.
All right, thank you, Jamie.
I don't think it's getting worse. I just think sometimes as a half you wait too long to take that field goal. You saw the Tigers, they had two shots, they probably didn't set up for it right. Luke Brooks dropped the ball a little bit forward. But you practice for these moments, you want these big moments. So I think the execution, it's the timing that some of the halves are getting wrong. They're waiting to the end, whereas I spoke about before, the game's allowed to breathe a bit more, they're not going to blow penalties. If you take it in the 15th minute or the last minute, it's still the same, it still changes the psyche of the other team. That's how I approach my field goals.
Okay, so are you hit or miss?
Miss, I think. Does that make sense? Yeah. Execution's okay, timing's wrong.
Okay. We're probably confused everyone a little bit. Last one. But you were both agreed. Now, we've got Champ or Chump, and let's take a look at Tarek Sims and what he did at halftime in the game.
Welcome back, by the way.
Oh, thanks, mate. Cheers, mate.
Why wasn't that a penalty for offside?
Because what's happening on the end? So, do we have a champ or chump for this one, gents?
Oh, champ. It's polite of him to start that with a nice greeting, but then he walks off while he's still talking. Not very polite from Tarek Sims there.
Oh, welcome Jamie. Back. Welcome back. Champ or chump?
Champ. It was nice from Tarek to address him like that. He could have been blowing up, but well done to referee checking.
Welcome back. All right. Well, before we finish up, I have to go to you. We've got power rankings. Give us an update, Sowie.
Well, come at me, Twitter fans of all clubs. Power rankings this week. A few movers up and down the ladder. For me, the Roosters were outstanding last week. They retained number one spot. Parramatta and the Raiders have been the big movers. Probably the biggest loser this weekend. Cowboys and the Broncos. Everyone north of the border is going south on the power rankings.
Okay. And where can we find it?
You can find it, NRL.com. Every Monday comes out, probably about 2 o'clock. But make sure you're at me, SowieOfficial6. I'm happy to answer all questions regarding power rankings.
Sounds great. You can give him positive feedback as well. It doesn't all have to be mean. Isn't that right?
I don't care.
It takes feedback.
Any feedback.
It takes feedback really well, actually.
Any feedback is good feedback. Well, that's it for another week. If you're not watching us, you can always catch up on the NRL podcast app. We'll be back next Monday at 4 p.m. But tomorrow at 3:55, Zach Bailey will host Teams List Tuesday with Brett Camorley and Jeff Toovey. Until next Monday, have a good one.